Hi, this is Randy Landry, and this is my second podcast on my work on my WordPress, my new platform for my podcast. I was doing Buzzsprout. You can still listen to my old podcasts on there, but they're gradually being deleted because I went to a free account, and they only maintain it for 90 days, so they're going to be starting to fall off. But I've ported them all over to WordPress and a category, surprisingly enough, called podcasts. And there's over 240 of those on there now, plus all the new ones that I'll be doing. And previously I was doing a podcast every week, but I'm in the middle of several projects right now, including updating a couple more of my books with new editions. And I've also got a book on the economy in the drawing process or drawing boards. And so today I am going to just give you some updates on what's going on in the country and how things have been going with Trump and his appointees. So currently, we'll start with that. 12 of his appointees have had hearings in the last week. And those hearings have gone very well. It started off with Pete Hegseth, who's going to be the Secretary of Defense. And then we had Pam Bondi, who's the Attorney General, Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, John Ratcliffe, pick for CIA Director, Sean Duffy, Transportation Secretary, Chris Wright, Senate, he's for the Energy and National Resources Committee, or Energy Secretary, basically. Russell Vought, who is going to be for Director of the Office of Management and Budget. Doug Burgum is for Interior Secretary. Lee Zeldin is Environmental Protection Agency Administrator. Scott Turner, pick for Housing and Urban Development Secretary or HUD. Scott Bessent, Secretary of Treasury. Christy Noem was for Senate Homeland Security Department. So she'll be the head of that, which is a really broad group or agency that handles a bunch of others, including Secret Service. And then it was wrapped up with Doug Collins and Stephanie Stefanik will be done next week. So that wraps up those people that are going to be that have already been vetted basically by the Senate. And with the exceptions of Pete Hegseth and Pam Bondi, they went pretty easily. This Democrats weren't too harsh, because I listened to several of them. But even when they were, the appointees were right on, and they just shredded the Democrats, shredded them, made them look like a bunch of yuck-yucks. And so it made me feel pretty good that all those appointees, and Christy Noem was an absolute star, so was Pam Bondi, and I think Pete Hegseth had the worst of it, mainly because of his background, but he came through with flying colors too, so I think they're all going to be chosen, approved, basically, and so that's good. And then next week, I figure coming up, with the inauguration day on this coming Monday, on the 20th, the following week, the rest of the appointees should be at their hearings. Hopefully everything will go through smoothly, and we can, or not we, but Donald Trump and his cabinet can start going through things. He's done a lot of appointments, I guess, but there's only so many certain ones that have to go through the Senate approval. The rest are not under those auspices, or under that heading or power, whatever you want to call it. So the next big thing of news is that we were scheduled to have an outdoor, as usual, inauguration, where Trump or the president goes ahead and takes the oath of office and all that, and then all the people, or hundreds of thousands of people, are out there to witness it. And then he does a parade where he walks from, I guess, to the White House. I'm not sure exactly, or maybe the Capitol building. But that has all been canceled because of the weather, quote unquote. But what it's looking like is that they just can't protect Trump. That's what's happening. And Trump hired a second security. He does not trust. No matter what he says, that he gives his wholehearted approval to the Secret Service, he doesn't trust them. I know he doesn't trust them. And he's listening to advice. And so he hired an independent company to come in. And it's the first time. They actually have helicopters that fly over doing a grid of the whole city for any kind of radiation, which could be like a dirty bomb or whatever, that could be set off and wipe out the whole city and take out Trump and Vance together. So, I mean, they're doing a lot, but to small, you know, smaller than the Secret Service, they don't have the resources to totally protect them. It's just an adjunct to the Secret Service and make up, you know, things that are like weak for the Secret Service. And I'm thinking they're recommending that he should not have an open thing, you know, open inauguration day. So they're going to do it indoors in the rotunda with a smaller group of people. And he's also having a party on Sunday, and a big gala. And so I would want everybody that's on Trump's side, you know, all the podcasters and all the people, including Bongino and Barry Cunningham, they're all happy as clams that he's not going to be going outdoors and putting himself, because apparently there has been several more threats against him, and it's kind of scary to be saying the least thing about it. And then I'm looking at my YouTube, and then there's one I'm going to have to listen to after I finish up, that RFK Jr. is posting, commented to Trump that he's been hearing some rumblings that there's some threats, or that there's some danger to Trump from Big Pharma, that they may be doing some shenanigans that might hurt him, or trying to hurt him. So I think the pressure, and you know, he's already had two attempts on his life that we know of, and there's probably more that they have covered up. So we want him to be safe. I would prefer if he just stayed in the damn White House the whole damn 4 years and never left there, just so he could come out unscathed. J.D. Vance is good, but he's not Trump. I don't think J.D. Vance could get done what Trump will be able to get done. He just does not have the, I don't know, right? Maybe he will. Maybe after 4 years of working under Trump, he'll have it. But he's not going to get countries just to bend to his will just by looking at him, basically, or getting ready to come into office, or just putting out some words. He's been working his whole life on the art of the deal, basically, and he has it down really good. So he can bend people to his will. And so that's one, that's another thing. So, and now in the Middle East, I guess Iran or Hezbollah and Hamas and Israel are going to have another ceasefire. And, of course, Biden tried to jump in there and take credit for it. And when questioned, he goes, please, who do you think's good? Who did it? Obviously, Trump did it. Because what happened last year nothing happened, right? And now Putin wants to get back up with Ukraine, and Zelensky of Ukraine need to get together, and they're already voicing interest in having talks and negotiations between the two of them. And Zelensky knows right well that he's not going to be getting any more money from Trump, so, and no more support. That's it. Enough that he got given. So that's hopefully going to change things around. And maybe we'll get some of that money back from Zelensky, billions and billions of dollars that we so desperately need to fix North Carolina and now California in the LA area. So there's been a lot of people dropping the ball in California for those fires, the wildfires that have just ravaged LA and the surrounding areas. And thousands of houses and buildings and schools and churches have been destroyed. They're just like charcoal briquettes. And so you've got Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, is definitely responsible for quite a bit of it. His mismanagement of the forests and the wildlife areas, failure to keep the aquifer, the water levels up, and all these holding areas for the water. They've just been allowed to run dry as water runoff has gone into, been allowed to go into the ocean. And the fire hydrants, there's just no water. And Christian Crowley, the mayor of LA, is also responsible. She has actually donated firefighting materials to Ukraine. She's been involved in cutting the funds to the fire departments. And then you've got Karen Bass, who's also dropped the ball when it has come to like water management and making sure that there's water in the fire hydrants and all. And so it's just been a mess, okay? And so now it's like a couple hundred billion dollars, they're saying it could be in damages to fix, to rebuild the city. And where is that money going to come from? As of California now, they had the money. They had billions and billions of dollars left over from COVID, but they've managed to spend all that in the Green New Deal scams and also illegal immigrants coming across the border and housing all them and just mismanagement of money. And then I still don't understand how this happened, but Gavin Newsom got a house out of the deal, $7 million house. I thought originally it was just a new governor's mansion, but no, it's just a private house. So where the hell did he get the money for that? I don't know, as being a public official. It's amazing how these politicians become millionaires after they've been in office for a few years. I make good money, but I'm not a millionaire, and I never will be. I never will have a $7 million house. Wow. So that's another situation. So I don't know. And this other deal with Trump in New York, and Marchand, that he's supposedly a felon now, but he didn't get anything. He just was like, okay, we're just going to make you a felon, but you're not going to have to pay any fines, you're not going to serve any time, you're not going to be on probation, nothing. You're not going to have any limitations, except maybe in some areas you can't own a gun. But as of Trump, he's 78 years old, really needs to own a gun. And I guess in some states you can't vote, but in Florida it shouldn't be a problem for him to vote. So it's just, it's meaningless, except the fact is that he is going to be the first president that is inaugurated and got into office as a felon. So that'll go down in records. He's the only president to have been impeached twice, and now he's going to be the only president to be a felon. And also, he's now going to be serving two non-consecutive terms, which he's only the second one to do that. So a lot of firsts and seconds for the president. But overall, the mood of the country seems to be positive that we think things are going to do well, be well. But we're just counting the days, minutes, and seconds for Biden to get the hell out of office so shit can be changed and clean up these messes. My God, it's just unbelievable. And and hopefully the country will be safer again. And as long as there's just so many things that you just don't know what's going to happen. They're talking about a possible another pandemic and all this bullshit is coming out. And some states are already making the mask mandate come back, like California, and I believe New York is another one. And really, how many people have died from this? Only a couple people have died. And those are the people that had a lot of other comorbidities. My God, they were unhealthy. They didn't die from that. They probably would have died from something else, for sure. And it just, they could have died of the flu. The flu would have been a bit enough to put them over. And that's what happens when you get really, really sick. It doesn't take much. Just like with HIV and AIDS, because your immune system gets so ravaged by the virus, you catch anything. People are dying from fungal infection, something that they never would imagine it could have died from. Or pneumonia. How many people actually die from pneumonia nowadays in the United States? Not that many, as long as you catch it in time. But people are dying from pneumonia and other situations that normally your body can handle when it's healthy. So, if you've lived a really crappy life and never taken care of yourself and you're obese and all this kind of stuff and you're a diabetic, you're going to be more likely to succumb to some kind of infectious agent that's going to weaken you. And I work in the hospital. I'm a nurse, an ICU nurse, and so I see this all the time, that things build up. And when you're on medications, every medication you take has a price that you have to pay to take it. Especially if you're on long-term antibiotics and other these medications, you end up having liver failure, renal failure. All these things can develop if you're on these heavy-duty medications. Nothing comes without a price. So your prolonged life is sometimes it's a bag. I mean, your life is really, I got to live to be 80 years old, but you spent the last 10 years in hospitals, bankrupting your family and insurance companies, or Medicare, Medicaid. For what purpose? I mean, I take care of people that, if I were in their situation, I really wouldn't want to be alive. I really wouldn't want to keep on struggling and fighting. Fighting for what? The chances of you getting out of the hospital and returning to any kind of normalcy are zero. Less than zero, if that's possible. I know, I can tell. I can tell these people that they're just not going to make it. It's not being negative, it's just being realistic. So, and a lot of the times, they've done it to themselves. People told them that this would happen if you kept on living those lives. And they continue to do it, whether it be alcohol, obesity from eating too much food, overindulgence, or what have you. So it's really sad. But so now this virus, this flu virus, avian bird flu or whatever the hell you want to call it. They got some funky, weird ass name to it now that I don't even know yet. And you can tell I really put a lot of effort into it because it's just, if it happens, it happens. And I'll investigate it more thoroughly when something like that comes more, information becomes available. But right now, I'm more concerned with protecting, making sure Trump is protected and safe, and that he can do some good for this country and turn us around. Because if we'd have been under Kamala Harris for 4 years or possibly even eight if she would have won, there would have been nothing left of our country. There really wouldn't have been. And I just don't know. I thank my lucky stars that I've never had any children, because I just would not want my children to come into this world and the way it is now. And so let's just hope. I know Trump is ever the optimist, and let's hope he can do something good for this country and turn it around and get these people back on their feet in North Carolina and California and to a lesser extent Tennessee. But And we'll see what happens. You know, maybe we'll get Greenland on our side, you know, maybe a territory, and get the Panama Canal back and just bitch slap China a little bit. So that's what we need. We need a strong president that can get some stuff done and stop the other countries from taking advantage of us and get us out of these forever wars. And maybe, just maybe, I'll be able to retire before I'm 100. Just kidding, I'll never live that long. So I always told myself that I would work until I dropped dead and that would be the end of it. I would never get to enjoy my retirement. And right now I'm going to have to work until I'm 70. It's not crying, it's just I've done it to myself. I have some bad life choices. But I did try to invest. And the federal government managed to steal my money in a couple different occasions, whether it be from apathy and not paying attention to what's going on for 9/11, or just mismanagement for 2008. I don't know, but I've lost a shitload of money both times. So I no longer have any retirement, so I'll be falling back on Social Security, provided there's any left for me to collect when I retire by the time I'm 70. So I've got 9 more god-awful years to work. And it's just like, oh, God. Maybe it would be so a bit more manageable and durable, basically, if I didn't have to do them damn ACLS and BLS research every 2 years. I still got 3 more to go. Actually, 4 more to go. Ugh. So I'll have to do it when I'm 63, 65, 67, and then 69. So I have 4 more rounds to do. Oh my God. I don't know if I can survive it. This is terrible. So, oh well. I'm going to be wrapping this up. And let's just hope things go smoothly. And it's just kind of like a mixed, it's almost like God is helping Trump somehow by having the weather really nasty. And maybe not so much dangerous as they're saying, but certainly not a really nice weather to have the inauguration. And it's giving them a really nice excuse, a way to pull out of it, the outdoors. And I was worried about it. I really was. Because if he were to get assassinated on the inauguration day, oh my God, I honestly think we would be going into a civil war of some type. It's really sad. Another good thing is it seems to be that some of these liberal countries are starting to turn things around, you know, like in Austria, Canada, their prime minister quit, basically. And now the only problem is now we got issues over in England where there's rape groups or whatever that are going around and raping young children and young women. And they're just covering it up. Elon Musk put out words about it. And they're trying to come down on him. And then if you haven't been living in a cave or a hut or whatever, you've probably heard about The Sound of Freedom, that movie that was come out about a year and a half ago. Well, the person that was involved in that Clavel portrayed in the movie, is being sued. He's got $3 million in lawsuits because sometimes, I guess, saying the truth is not good. And so he's been sued left and right. So he's making a sequel to it just to try to raise enough money to pay for the lawsuits that he's incurring. And he'll probably get a whole batch of new ones with the new movie. That's unbelievable. And it's just like, I don't know. But we'll see what's happening. We'll see. All right, guys, sorry, this is kind of a little disjointed, a little out of sorts today. I don't know why, but I'm kind of like apprehensive, and I'm kind of just like a little bit of tired of all the crap that's going on right now. But take care and be safe.